B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The questions can begin. Terry Rozier will dribble out the clock. It will hit triple zeros. And after 4 years of overachievement, 4 years of going farther than they should have, 4 years of tantalizing their fans about what was possible, a market correction in 2019 for the Boston Celtics, and a season uncomfortable from the start, ends with a whimper tonight in Milwaukee. The final score, Milwaukee 116, Boston 91. The Bucks are on to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 18 years. And the Celtics, a major player, enter what is going to be one of the most fascinating off-seasons in NBA history.
So you're mocked. You're the Celtics. And you've been mocked now for a couple days. Two straight days. Commentators, national commentators, saying your bags are packed and the teammates will pack them for you. Charles Barkley, 1-2-3 Cancun. Or it's a wrap. Or we've already booked our tickets for Milwaukee. After 3-1, they're on vacation. Everyone buries you for two straight days. You go out to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee sucks. The Bucks don't show up last night either. They couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. They didn't play well. And you have every opportunity to shut everybody up, show a little bit of pride, and you lose by 25. 25 against a team that didn't play well, did not come to close, after you had all the motivation in the world that everyone gave you, and you couldn't respond one iota other than Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris on defense a little bit in the first half. What an embarrassment.
Well, again, as Brad Stevens said, after game four, it reveals a lot. A spot like that reveals a lot. And all this did, in this case, I think everything had already been revealed. All this did was validate what we believed. They're gutless. It was a gutless team all year long. It was a gutless, sackless, heartless team all year long, and they were soft. They were really, really brittle and soft.
And it begins and ends with Kyrie Irving. He wears it as he should wear it. He made it about him. He wanted it to be about him. He told you all during the nonsense of that wretched regular season that it doesn't matter come the playoffs. That's what I'm here for. And why are you so confident? Because I'm here. And I can't wait to get through the BS of the regular season for the playoffs, for when the talent comes to the fore, and you'll see exactly what we've got going on. And then he gets in the playoffs and basically played the worst basketball of his career.
Nothing but false bravado. Cemented himself as one of the great frauds in Boston sports history. That's what he ended up becoming. Got progressively worse with these games. And talking it up like, oh no, I can't be worse than 8-22. Next night, 7-22. Last night, 6-21. He got worse with each passing game.
I mean, he sits there and says after game four, you know, I could take 30 shots. I'm that good of a shooter. And he shoots 18.5% in the last four games from three-point land. I'm not making that number up.
I've never seen anything like this. I mean, I've seen guys, you know, not come through in the clutch and be chokers like David Price was for a long time in his career. But David Price never stood up and told you, wait till October, you'll see. He never said, well, you know, I mean, I gave up 7 runs in this one, but you won't see that the next one. You know, he sort of said, you know, in the playoffs, I get a little nervous. I'm like a duck with the bill and with the paddles going underwater. Like, he sort of admitted to his failings. It's not like he, you know, told you to shut the hell up. I'll prove it to you in the right. In the playoffs.
He wasn't defiant.
This Kyrie Irving? I've never seen anything like this.
Oh, my gosh. No, really. He is a guy that's really detached from reality. Like, and I still don't think he understands the magnitude of what happened. Like, when you listen to him after the game last night, you sort of listen to him going, dude, do you understand what just happened here? Do you understand?
Oh, I think he does. He just doesn't care. He told you he doesn't care.
He acts
literally.
Like he acts like he doesn't. It's got to bug him on level.
You're shooting 30% in the last two games. Who cares? I mean, who says that? Who says that? And that's the guy you want leading your team if you still want him, folks? That's the guy you want to build around? You can't do it. You can't do it. He doesn't have the right mindset. He doesn't have the right character. He's not either smart enough or tough enough or something. So he lacks that intangible quality, whatever it is. Or he's just not good enough to overcome it, because I think LeBron lacks a lot of those intangible qualities too, but he's so freaking good it doesn't matter. Kyrie's not at that level as a player, so the intangible stuff does matter. He can't lead your franchise. When he comes out after Game 5 last night, after sucking so bad for four straight games, and says, no, now's not the time to be disappointed. Or who cares? You can, that can't lead your team. It's not going to work. So, I mean, an unbelievable story. And I told you before, everything he says, I don't like. It's stunning how everything out of his mouth leads me to say, dude, you don't get it. Like, for example, just play. So number one, here, play Kyrie Irving, number one, Jimmy. This is how he rips his team. He rips the Celtics and his teammates and his coach by praising the other team. It's a chicken bleep this way season, to do it. It's a passive aggressive way to do it, but it's how Kyrie does it. Go ahead, Jimmy.
This season, this is the season you said you asked for. This is the moment you said you asked for. What are your thoughts right now in the immediate aftermath?
Just a lot of lessons to take from this season, from day one at training camp all the way till now. You know, it just felt like a rush. You know, try to enjoy as many moments as I could. You know, just it really comes down to great team basketball, who's playing better at, you know, a certain time of the year, and the connectivity and the able to respond. And, you know, they showed all year why they were who they were. You know, they were very dominating in this series after game one. Played hard. They did unbelievable things with their rotations. And, you know, Mike put them in some great positions to be successful, as well as guys coming in off the bench playing well, playing steady. You know, you got Ersan and George, and you know, they're just leading that second unit. And I think Giannis and Chris did a great job of leading their group, as well as Ibla coming in and filling in where he could as well. I think collectively as a group, they really outplayed us as a group, and I give credit to them, because they came after game one getting punched in the mouth, and they responded the way a team that, you know, deserves to win should.
Okay, and that's, I think, how Kyrie criticizes his own team: passive aggressively, connectivity, ability to respond, and play physically, to play hard. Mike did unbelievable things with his rotations. What is he talking about? He did unbelievable things with his rotations.
No idea.
He brought in his bench players.
Yeah, no idea.
When it came time to bring in his bench players, what's special about their rotations? He would bring in George Hill to spell a guard, and Hill played well. And then it was one big Herman Munster stiff after the next, standing outside the three-point line, chucking three-pointers. What was so special about their rotation? Nothing. But Kyrie wants to undermine his coach. So the way he undermines Brad Stevens is, when he's not even asked about it, he'll talk about the other coach and how brilliant he is with his rotations, even though he's not, and how Mike did put them in a position to be successful. Like, they made some little adjustments, but what was so unbelievable about their rotations?
Nothing. There was nothing unbelievable about their rotations. And the other thing, what I don't get is, he talks about how hard they played. Does this guy have a mirror?
Right.
Like, what, was there anybody who played with less attitude last night in particular than Kyrie?
His defense in the last three games was god-awful.
Chuck.
He'd be forced to watch.
Murray, he checked out.
Chuck and Duck, one assist last night. Didn't play. They played no offense. I mean, no one could hit any shots, but they didn't play any offense. Total Chuck and Duck from Kyrie Irving over the last four games. Play Kyrie Irving number two. Again, everything he says I hate.
How disappointing is this? No, you know, you guys were picked to go to the finals, or you wanted to do great things with this team and this organization, and how disappointed are you? And two, what will you do for the next 6-7 weeks before you have a big decision to make? And is Boston a place that you would consider coming back?
You know, truth be told, it's no time to be disappointed. I think that...
Can you just stop?
You know, you take your lesson.
Truth be told, it's not the time to be disappointed. Who says that?
You know, what other time is there?
When is there then to be disappointed? When would you be disappointed, Kyrie?
I mean, that's all any of them are talking about. In the aftermath of it, it was a disappointing way to go down.
After you were one of the worst players on the floor in a humiliating 5-game wipeout in the second round when you were supposed to go to the finals.
Oh, yeah, no. But again, he's smarter than everybody else. So he will stand above it all and say, oh, no, these guys are all disappointed. What we really need to do is reflect and understand how this can make us better. No, it's not human. Like, to sit there and say, listen, last night was the night you should be pissed. There was one hard foul under the hoop last night.
Yeah, it was Lopez on Marcus Smart. On which side?
No, no. The Celtics committed one hard one. I remember somebody really hit. Was it Jaylen Brown?
I think it was Tatum who nailed Giannis.
Okay. And I thought, ooh, he might get a flagrant here. And I thought, good. Good. There you go. Like, show me that you're willing to fight and that you're pissed off. Show me that you're willing to fight. They weren't. And, like, you can sit there and say, this is the time not to be disappointed.
Oh, my God. So how do you have this be the leader of your team? I mean, how do you build around a guy who fails at that level and says, now's not the time to be disappointed?
You can't even market a guy like that. By him saying that, it's like spitting in every Celtics fan's face.
Never mind the game before with you shooting 30% in your last three playoff games, the worst stretch of your career. Who cares?
It's exactly the time to be disappointed.
I really wonder now how competitive he is. Like, I wonder whether he's even wired to compete at all. I mean, because, again, he's into the flash. He's into the scoring. There's a lot of that. But if he's your lead dog, if he's the guy that sets sort of the backbone of your team, you'll cave.
Who says that?
Nobody.
But what competitor, what franchise player, leader, star comes out after a disappointing playoff loss and says, now's not the time to be disappointed? It's mind-boggling. It's staggering. And that's the guy you're going to build around? You got to be kidding me. And then, you know, just the third one he's asked point blank. Okay? Your future, Kyrie. What is coming in your future? What's the answer, Jimmy?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just trying to make it back to Boston first, you know, safely. Get to see my family, decompress, you know, do what human beings do.
Okay. He's got to sprinkle in a little NBA drama. Hopefully he made it home safely on the charter. And I think they did. They all got back here safely. So, again, thoughts and prayers. You made it home safely.
It's such a weaselly move,
though.
It's
just,
like, fellas, you know,
just dumb.
There's more important things in the world. I want to get home safe.
You weren't trying to hitch back.
You know, I want to get home safe. You guys have been on an airplane. You understand the risk that's involved in getting on those things?
And I do have a family. Okay. Do you even want him?
No.
Okay, I'm a no.
I'm done.
I'm a no. I'm, you know, in no form do I want him.
I'm still a yes.
You're a sucker for punishment.
Damn.
Mass, you're in deep trouble if this is the guy leading the ship.
Well, so I didn't say I wanted him to lead the ship.
So then who do you get on top of him?
I don't know. You got to give me a little time. I got to think that one out a little. I don't have an answer for you right now, but I believe in talent, and he's got it.
Okay, there's our Celtics reset. Your reaction right after this.
Tune for more Bruins Game Day with Felger and Maz from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From the center of the hockey universe, this is Bruins Game Day, live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Open his Bledsoe for three.
From the start, it didn't work.
Four for down low. Pump fake on Giannis, and Giannis just slots the thing into the front row. Jaylen Brown works his way to the free throw line, throws it over the shoulder to Kyrie. Nope. Three is an air ball. And this is starting to snowball on Kyrie. Giannis lining him up, switches to the right hand, jumps around Smart into Baines, gets away with the travel, kicks to the corner, and Brogdon hits a three. That's a big swing, and Brad Stevens is furious. Brad Stevens is on the court, mocking the officials for letting Giannis take the extra step. Kyrie, right hand dribble, whips a pass, bad one picked off by Giannis. He will go the distance, big time right hand thrust. The Kyrie turnover puts the Celtics down by 13. Bledsoe, he steps through Kyrie and misses the layup, but he gets his own rebound. Crazy circus shot. No good. Rebound. George Hill. Kick out. Connaughton. Crazy deep three is no good. Bledsoe throws it back into the court. Connaughton has it. Swings to Hill. Shuttles into the corner. Bledsoe misses a three. Offensive rebound again for Mirotić. This is the sequence they're going to be playing all summer long. Giannis, diagonal pass deflected. They kick back out to Mirotić, who misses a three. The rebound finally is not secured because they're calling a loose ball foul
against the Celtics.
Got to grow a set out there.
And a season uncomfortable from the start ends with a whimper tonight in Milwaukee. The final score, Milwaukee 116, Boston 91.
I've been dealing with some bullshit, man. It's been tough. It's been a tough year, especially for me, but it ain't about me.
I'm 22 years old. I know I got a lot to learn, but I think, you know, we got older guys on our team, and I think they'll say the same thing. They got a lot to learn too, so that's a part of it.
Certainly been the most trying. I think I did a bad job.
You know, I've enjoyed being here in Boston, and just have to wait and see what we're going to do as a team, and that's the management's going to do taking forward, continue to, you know, to get better.
You know, for me, it's just moving on to the next thing and just seeing where that ends up.
Jimmy Stewart's look back at Game 5 last night in Milwaukee. You heard there from Terry Rozier, Jalen Brown, Brad Stevens, Al Horford, Kyrie Irving. I'm glad Jimmy included two plays in there. The two plays that stood out to me, Kyrie Irving's air ball of the three-pointer in the second quarter that must have missed by 2 feet. I mean, I thought the thing actually knuckled. I called it a wiffle ball. I've never seen the ball come out of his hand like that
before. It was squirrely.
It was. And the camera angle was perfect. It was right behind him. It's like, you've got to be kidding me, dude. And then the sequence... And was it the third quarter, where the Bucks got 6 straight offensive rebounds, and the only way the Celtics were able to stop it is that they pushed the guy underneath to get a foul?
They had to ice the puck.
it was a power play, as Maz said.
Yeah.
That sequence was just unbelievable. I'll say one, the only thing I'm sympathetic to the Celtics are, or any opponent against the Bucks, including the Celtics, who gets called for traveling, I do feel your pain. I mean, it's a joke what Giannis is allowed to do. It's a freak. I love it. Believe me. I'm happy for it as a Bucks fan, but as an objective observer, which I am, it's a freaking joke what he is allowed to do. And Jaylen Brown got called. Tatum got called for a couple travels. I feel you losing your mind. No one should ever be called for traveling against the Milwaukee Bucks.
I mean, really, you know, Giannis will travel 20 feet without the ball in the ground.
It's staggering.
It is. It's ridiculous.
Giannis will take a step to travel, and you're like, that's traveling. And then he'll take another one. Like, there were a couple last night where he took, like, a fourth step.
It's like watching a running back.
It's unbelievable. But anyway, comments from some of those guys. Terry Rozier stands out to you?
Terry Rozier, well, you know, it's a hard year for everybody, especially me. Like, talk about, again, delusion. Oh, man, I'll tell you, it was a tough year, especially for me.
we missed you so much and everything because you mean so much. That guy, too, another guy that thinks he's so much bigger and better than he actually is. See you later, bum.
Didn't he actually say nobody had to sacrifice more than
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
I mean, like.
Some of the comments, I was reading them. I'm hurting hearing them today on the show. It's like, when I first saw them, I'm like, I'll F off. Get out of here.
Once you make yourself out to be.
A martyr?
Yeah. You're done. That's it. Like, let other people make you a martyr. You don't do it. You do it because you want to do it, and it's the right thing. That's it. Don't sit there and sing your own praises. And then, apparently, he was also asked about what if the Celtics have the right to match this summer. You know, have you thought about that at all? And he said, no comment. Like, talk about, it's like they can't, walking out the door, they can't help but be a-holes. Oh, it's unbelievable.
One of the biggest fails in Celtics history, this team. This team will go down as one of the true disgraces in the history of the franchise.
I mean Boston honestly. Sports, not just Celtics.
Okay, let's mix in some reaction. Here's Anderson in the car. Go ahead, Anderson.
All I've heard from October to May was that Tatum is the next Kobe, Gordo's back, Kyrie's a superstar genius. Guys, I don't want to lose my temper on the radio right now, but the Greek Freak, a real superstar, showed up, and he spanked you on the bum with his freaking trays of baklava. You kidding me?
What stands out is Giannis's attitude to me. I mean, he really does just want to win. Competitive, hardworking, and I follow the Bucks a little bit. I've never heard him say things like my team and my guys and any of this other stuff that Kyrie just prattles on about.
He wasn't raised in the school of LeBron.
Which is, again, to Giannis's advantage. 5 years ago, he was selling baubles on the streets of Athens to support his family. So he comes from a whole different place other than this, again, just rotten American basketball culture. So that's an advantage to him. But it's noticeable. You know, there's none of this, my team, my guys,
me,
my job, my support, me, my, I. He's just driven. He's just a driven, you know, hard-nosed athlete. And Kyrie, it's all this other accoutrement that just I have no sympathy for.
You shouldn't have sympathy for it again. And look, I draw the line back to that one on LeBron because I think LeBron sort of changed that part of it. It was bad enough in the NBA that the superstars got as much attention as they did. LeBron then started acting like the coach, and Kyrie doesn't know any different. He thinks that's the way it's done.
Oh, God. Mike and Rockland, go.
Hey, guys. I'm going to just make a quick point and then ask one quick question. Kyrie, he thinks he's LeBron James, but his best comparison is Carmelo Anthony. He's just a loser. He's like a talented loser where the guy's just never going to win anything. They're never going to win anything with him. And Maz, what happened to the Carmelo and Tony Maz thing? Oh, that's who Kyrie is. He's Carmelo Anthony. And just do me a favor too, Murray, real quick. Just do that David Price thing and just run him out of town. I know he's probably going to be gone anyway, but just make sure. Just get on the radio and just run him out of town. I've had enough of that guy.
Okay, hold on. That's after the basketball and hockey playoffs. When we'll get to that. But we got other things to talk about first. I don't know if he's Carmelo, but I do, as I've been bringing up to you here recently, is he James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, one of these really super talented guards that, you know, lacks intangibles, but maybe just lacks the height or the position to really lead the team, especially when you're kind of an asshat. Like, it's a bad, bad combination.
So Harden, I think, is the best analogy. I hate Harden. I do. I absolutely hate Harden. And I think if Harden's your best player, you're not going to win. I mean, we'll see what happens now.
I mean, I find Harden, what's the difference between him and Kyrie?
So maybe there isn't one. You might be right. You might be right. And you know what? And if that makes me a hypocrite, maybe it does. I had a different perception of Kyrie when he came here. Hell, I had a different perception of him last year. Like, you know, Kyrie to me felt like a different guy last year than this year.
I mean, the guy who...
The thing went south so fast.
The guy who leads your franchise, the guy who you feel good about leading your franchise, comes out last night after that game and says, this wasn't good enough and it doesn't sit well with me. I mean, it's just the simplest thing in the world. The coach said it. I didn't do my job. I did a bad job. And this is, you know, the biggest mark. And this is the worst in the 12 years. And anyone would say that, who you would feel good leading your franchise. Instead, he says, now's not the time to be disappointed. And I'm looking forward to seeing the Bucks into the future. And this is a game after. He's pointed out to him statistically how he's shooting. He says, who cares? I mean, how can that be the guy? How can that possibly be the guy?
He can't be the guy. I mean, again, you need somebody who is going to establish the culture of the team that's higher than him.
I mean, never mind basically telling us all regular season that the regular season doesn't matter and how much he hates it. Never mind, again, like that Houston game, walking into the building with this black cloud over him, saying out loud to cameras, I hate this bleeping crap.
And it's just him. Whereas every NBA player in the league comes in, it's like, oh, it's time to shine here. It's the catwalk.
I can't wait for this to be over. I mean, how do you have him lead your franchise?
Well, he can't be. No, again, he can't be. And this is something that the Celtics are going to have to attack in the offseason, because if he's the guy that's establishing your culture, you're doomed.
So why do you want him, Maz? Just because of the talent, the supposed talent that eroded over these last four games?
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. No, you're doomed to fail and repeat this same process with this a-hole over and over and over.
I mean, I just think it's a talent league.
We keep bringing up other teams and other sport examples. I mean, would Garnett ever do that?
No, not in a million years. But again, Garnett was a leader. He was
he was competitive.
Yes. Yes. He was. He's a guy who had good team values. And Garnett never talked about my guys or
my team and things happen for my
team.
Oh, my God.
It was we. It was always we. And look, like, just because you talk about the Kyrie competitiveness, so let me get this off my chest quickly. And again, I know it's not fair. Okay. But the Celtics had swept by the Bucks when I was a kid growing up in 83.
Did you see them play the clip last night?
I didn't.
Did you wake up the family?
I did see the clip.
Sally scared?
Okay. So
Marcus Johnson and Sidney Moncrief in 83. Murray?
I saw this. I was like, oh, I wonder.
I did see this.
Yeah.
I think it actually hit the screen. That's all I'm going to say. Go ahead.
Okay. So in 83, the Bucks swept the Celtics in the playoffs four straight. The Celtics came back next year and won the championship. And in 86, they played the Bucks again, and they swept them. And in, at the final game in Milwaukee, at the buzzer.
I remember Bird hit a three-pointer at the top of the key.
When they were up like 15.
Yeah.
He just to stick it. 3 years later, Bird still remembered. 3 freaking years later, he still remembered. This guy, 10 minutes later, he's not disappointed. Right? Seriously, it's unbelievable.
And he's looking forward to seeing the
Unbelievable. I heard that. I mean, you've got to be kidding
this me. This can't be the guy, folks. He can't be the guy. I mean, good luck. If you do it, good luck. But he doesn't have the character or the makeup for it. He doesn't have the intangible, whatever it is, to do it. Or else you're porked, or else you're, you know, you're the Rockets with Harden, or you're one of these other teams. That's what you are. Here's Murray's update again, breaking Patriots news today. Back with more of your reaction.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, it's Felger and Mads. Bruins game day on your home of the Bees. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One of the hallmarks of your teams going back to the beginning has been the fight and the good habits that you're talking about. This season was really not much of that. What was different about this team?
I mean, that's probably the part that eats at me the most, right? 12 years, been a head coach for 12 years, and, you know, we let go of the rope more and cracked more than we probably should have. We need to be better than that, but the team that doesn't crack usually wins, and these guys just kept again pounding at us. I'll be the first to say that this is, as far as any other year that I've been a head coach, certainly been the most trying. I think I did a bad job. Like, at the end of the day, like, as a coach, if your team doesn't find its best fit together, that's on you. I'll do a lot of deep dives into how I can be better.
All right, Steven's taking some ownership, something a star player would not come close to doing. Not close. And at no point this season did Kyrie Irving do that. Not even close. So that was a comment that, all right, Stevens gets it a little bit. Then there was this comment from Stevens that you wonder maybe he doesn't get it. And Barkley responded to it as well on TNT. Jimmy, just play that one quickly, that exchange.
You know, I understand we didn't meet the outside expectations. We really rode a roller coaster a lot of the year, and it was difficult.
I didn't like the fact that he said we didn't meet outside expectations. What about inside? What about inside? Danny Ainge put together a team that made it to the one game from the finals last year, bring back two all-star players. And that ain't got nothing to do with outside expectations. That was inside expectation. If you go back to the beginning of the season, I think most experts, and there's no such thing as an expert, it's just a bunch of jackasses like us on TV giving our
opinion. I'm not a jackass.
Well, you're just an ass. But I think most people pick the Boston Celtics to win the Eastern Conference.
Without question.
And they've been awful all year.
Awful's a little harsh, don't you think?
Ernie, no, they should not be a number five seed.
That's right.
Ernie, with all the talent they got, they shouldn't be a number five seed in the playoffs. They come on, man.
Okay, four seed, but we're not going to quibble. So true. You go to the Game 7 of the East Finals. LeBron leaves the conference. You add two All-Stars, including a top 10 player in the league.
Right.
And you get worse, and you get blown out in four straight games after winning the first and the second round.
Inexcusable.
A freaking embarrassment. And Steven says outside expectations, that was weaselly.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that comment either. Because, again, the reality is the Celtics internally thought they had a team that could go to the finals and win it. Now they would. I think they'd concede that Golden State was a favorite. But they thought they had a shot. And to sit there and then say outside expectations, oh, that's such a load of crap. Please, he knows. So I don't know what he's trying to do there, whether he's trying to further endear himself to his players, make sure he's winning guys over or what. I have no idea. But what he should be saying is, he should be saying the opposite. Fellas, honestly, we don't care about your expectations. We care about ours. We didn't meet our own. We didn't meet our own. We're capable of more than this. We know we're capable of more than this, and we didn't live up to it.
Okay, I'd like to play one more piece of sound for you because I just liked it. And, you know, we've been talking about it all year. These guys hate each other. And you can say, fake news, you're making it up, blah, blah, blah. We were right. Chemistry was a huge problem on this team. And I'm not really a chemistry guy. I'm more of a character guy. But on this team, it infected them. It started with Kyrie and the kids' inability to handle him, and it never got right, and it infected this team. It poisoned this team, and it was obvious from the outside. But now, when you get team broadcasters telling you this, team broadcasters, then you know it's not just us throwing crap against the wall. These are guys who are with the team every day. NBC Sports Boston postgame show. Mike Gorman and Brian Scalabrine. Gorman is going to start off talking here about the Bucks and how they played and what was apparent to him about the Milwaukee Bucks. Play that clip, Jimmy.
Go ahead. It was clear watching from game two through now that these guys really like each other. Yeah. And they really like playing together. Right. And they're willing to make sacrifices for each other. I'm not sure the Celtics you can say that about.
Yeah, and I'm not – and you guys know me. I'm not a chemistry guy at all. Yeah. Like, I don't – I think if you get good shots, yeah. you'll win. Yeah. I don't think you need to kumbaya. I don't think you need to be going out to eat together. I don't believe any of that. I believe in the basketball. I believe right. in getting the ball to the paint and getting right. good quality looks. Mm-hmm. I think you can hate the guy you play with and make the extra pass and get a wide open shot. But I was clearly wrong this year because you watch these guys.
I was wondering where you're going.
You watch other teams that are connected, and you're like, all right, these guys are playing right. for one another, right. and we're clearly not.
Okay, so that was just a great way for Scal to attack that. He's like, chemistry doesn't matter, but on this team, boy, after watching these guys, it sure does.
Well, so, you know, I'm starting to wonder, you know, because I'm also a believer in the idea that you don't have to go out to dinner together. You don't have to, like, you don't have to be buddy-buddy. But I don't think you can hate each other either. Like, and there are teams that have pulled that off and won. I mean, you know, it's not unprecedented.
But you have to be super, super talented.
Yes, correct. You know, because
all the teams that people cite in that case, the early 70s Oakland A's, right. they always bring up. How many Hall of Famers did you have on that
team? Oh, they were loaded.
Okay, so when you've got Hall of Famers across the board, then fine, and nothing else matters. But if you're just generically really good, you got to have some of those other things too.
Yeah, again, you can't hate each other and win. Right? You don't have to love each other, but you can't hate each other. And this team, it felt like they couldn't be in the same room together.
Okay, Maz had one on-floor thing that we wanted to get to. Brad Stevens was asked about where they just came up short. As he assesses his team, where did they come up short? Go ahead, Jimmy.
There's all kinds of different things that I think we can get better at, Gary. I don't want to pinpoint one. I've got the whole summer to rehash that. I do think when you get into this series, like the points at the rim that they got and the points at the rim that they didn't give up are, I mean, they just stand out like a sore thumb. You're fighting and scratching and clawing for every look, and they protected the rim and the paint much better than we did and flew around shooters much better than we did. Again, I can't say enough good things about the Bucks, Coach Bud. They all deserve incredible amount of credit.
Okay, but the rim protection.
Okay, so this is a basketball thing now, right? And which is not the number one reason the Celtics lost this series. But it is a thing going forward, because when he talks about the rim, the points at the rim, and the points that the Bucks prevented at the rim, the Celtics won game one because they got into the rim. In game one, if you go back, that was a huge factor in opening up that game. They got points in there, and I didn't think they were going to be able to do it. And you know what the real problem is? Giannis is going to be there for the next 10 years. He is a huge factor, and he's a rim player. He's not a perimeter player. He's a rim player. If you're the Celtics, you got to find a way to combat that. Like, otherwise, you're going nowhere no matter who you have. That's a huge problem. So to me, this is one of those things that you look at and you say, you know, like, look at
that. You got to factor in Zion Williamson that equation, too, if the Knicks get him.
Well, just stop.
But the sequence last night that stuck out to me is Horford got the ball underneath the basket. Giannis is standing right next to him. Horford gave an up fake. Giannis didn't move. And then Horford went up, and Giannis knocked it into the second row. It was like, it doesn't matter how many fakes you throw. It doesn't matter, you know, when you go up. You just don't have the size to get it over me, and I'm going to smash it out of the building.
Okay, Maz, you understand if they want some bigs and they're serious about this, they have to change their whole philosophy.
Okay, that's correct. They
because do. They don't want anyone out there that you don't have to defend. They don't want a pure rim protector. And if you're a rim protector, you better be able to go out to the three and shoot the three ball. This is why we have to watch Aaron Baines shoot three-pointers.
Correct. So here's what I'm telling you. Aaron Baines isn't good enough to match up with Giannis. Here's what I'm telling you. Independent of Kyrie, you might have to make the Anthony Davis trade. You might not have a choice. If you're going to beat Milwaukee, you need a big guy that can at least make Giannis work on both ends of the floor. And I'm not saying he's better than Giannis or worse.
Right.
I'm just saying that someone who can come close to matching up at the very least. And the good news with Davis is that, in theory, he can go away from the basket a little bit and maybe take some jumpers. I don't know if he can shoot threes with any sort of regularity, but nonetheless. The point is, Giannis isn't going anywhere. If you don't have someone that can match up with that, you're screwed for 10 years. You're screwed. That's a huge problem. And again, that's a basketball issue. I understand today is a day really about the heart of the Celtics or the lack of heart, because they're a gutless, sackless, heartless team. That's what they are.
They need to get their DNA back. They lost completely who they were.
Okay, and I'm going to tell you, even if they get that back,
they also need a rim protection.
They got to get a big guy that can make Giannis work on both ends. They got to get some points near the basket, Mike, and they need someone who can defend the rim.
Well, so now maybe to Murray's point, or just the whole. I mean, how it looks going into the year is that the Eastern Conference is yours, and it's yours for a long time. I mean, that's what we all thought.
Not anymore.
Now just think about it. Now you've got to go through Milwaukee and Giannis. Durant's going to go to the Knicks and bring someone with him.
Maybe, Kawhi Leonard might stay in Toronto.
Maybe even Kyrie, or maybe Kawhi. Kawhi might then just stay in Toronto. All right? So now you're talking about not just owning the Eastern Conference. You still have to get by Milwaukee. Now the Knicks may have just passed you. I don't know about you in Toronto, depending on what you're left with, versus Kawhi Leonard. I mean, now you're talking what? I mean, talk about a reversal of where you were just 6 months ago and what you thought this team was going to be and the whole landscape going forward.
And I know it's not on the same level. You didn't even mention Philly yet.
I was about to, but I don't believe those.
Okay, I know you don't, but they still have some players. And you know what? If you might not be good enough to beat Philly right now. Like, I look at that and say, ugh.
Well, you've lost your sack. So, I mean, I don't trust you against anyone, frankly. All right. Guys, we're going a whole nother hour.
Yep.
Felger and Maz is not coming to an end.
Murray's very excited about this.
Bonus time. We have so much more venom to spew at the Celtics. We have so much more information to give you on the Bruins and the Hurricanes and your thoughts. And we've ignored the Bruins people this hour, but we'll get back to you next hour with your Celtics calls. We'll go back and forth from 6 to 7. Bonus hour of Felger and Maz coming your way after the final word, which is next.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day with Felger and Maz from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest prices on tires, go to Town Fair Tire, because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
A lot of bashing of the Celtics today, and rightfully so, specifically of one Kyrie Irving. You really lost it when it came to Kyrie Irving and his social media intervention that we found out about.
This I can't take.
From earlier
this
today.
I just can't take. Why is it driving him insane?
Because he's a control freak.
So what?
Yeah, a baby.
So what? People are rumor-mongering about you. So what?
That's the business he's in.
Who cares? You've got to be kidding me, you child. You little baby. Oh, my God. So people are drawing rumors between you and Durant in New York, and they're wondering what you're saying in the hallway. And people like us are just putting words in your mouth and talking about it. And that crawls in your head? You've got to be kidding me.
And this is the same guy that wants to have his own team and be the man. So, like...
Like, I have zero sympathy for that. Like Jackie's trying to portray this sympathetic thing, like trying to, you know, generate sympathy for Kyrie Irving that he had to put up with this. To which I say, put up with what? What are you talking about, Jackie? I mean, love you, mean it, but good Lord, turn the radio off. Listen to music. Take Twitter off your phone. It's really not that hard. I don't have it on mine. Don't put it on your phone. Don't read it. It's the easiest thing in the history of the world to not listen to it. It's so easy. Don't listen. God. But because now with these millennials or you people with your Twitter, you have to have it. You've got to listen. No, you don't. No, you don't. Oh, my God. And now we've got to cry a river for Kyrie Irving because he couldn't stay off Twitter? It's pro sports. It's the NBA. They all decided to be free agents in the same year, and they're all going to conspire and go somewhere else. And we're going to talk about it. But that drives you crazy and makes you insane? Oh, my God. Good job. Oh, my God. This is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life. I had to take the app off my phone. I don't know how I did it. Oh, and now again, thoughts and prayers to Kyrie Irving because he had to delete his Twitter account. I know. Of all the hardships that people have to endure, that one has to be the worst.
I just like to reiterate, it's not like I'm yelling at Jackie there. It's nothing to do with Jackie. She said that this is what had upset Kyrie. I'm yelling at Kyrie, not Jackie McMullen. Trust me. But
yeah, Felga, I don't think I can live without my Twitter.
Oh, my God. That Kyrie, what, he was so miserable because we were speculating where he was going in free agency. And people putting words as, I mean, that does it? That's it? That's it.
That's the job.
That's it?
A professional athlete.
Just ignore it, dude.
So again, think of how pampered and spoiled the pro athlete has been over in history. Now, add in the fact that he's a millennial. Like,
horrible combination.
He can't take any criticism whatsoever. None. I mean, it's like this
to
is
the point where he can't. But it, I mean, a lot of us can't. We all get sensitive about things. Like, I'm not blaming for being sensitive. We all have our sensitivities. It happens to all of us. But to not be able to turn it off, or to have some sort of big crisis.
Yeah, but the millennial was born with a cell phone in his hand.
Where the team president and GM have to come to you and say, maybe you should take the thing off your phone. Like that, I just, that blows me away, man. That is just. If I'm sorry to keep going. This is usually what you do. We play the cut of you in the final word and you keep ranting, but I feel like doing it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If you're affected by the noise, if you can't ignore or be motivated by the noise, then I have no sympathy for you. None. Zero.
I don't think I do that at all.
I could go for another 25 minutes on it. But I'm not. We're going to go for another hour. Hour. Felger Maz bonus hour. Celtics, Bruins, your thoughts, I promise.
Conference finals, bitches!
Beers is standing by as well for a little spot. We'll get to all of it. 90 seconds, no commercials, right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.